In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of my great uncle, Cecil Ferrari, who died a few years back. Today, when we go through, well, before we get into it, Sister Anne, thank you for that for the hymn. I really enjoy that hymn very much, and I thank you for leading us in that one. Jesus Christ has risen today, right? Yeah, so good. And you sing it so well. I'm glad that everybody knows it too, because it's real good. Today, we have some interesting things going on within the scriptures. Particularly today, we have an option to celebrate three different saints. Fabian could rattle them off for you right now. St. Peter Chanel, the great martyr. We have Saint Louis Grigon de Montfort, the great Marian doctor of the church, who I love so much. If you do the Marian consecration to him, the 33-day consecration, well, he's the one who had it there, the great Marian saint of France who conquered the world for Our Lady's heart during that time. But also Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, who is very important to me because she's the first saint that I encountered when I went to Rome. There was a wonderful young woman who was a convert to the faith who actually reminds me so much of my mother in her appearance and her way of prayer and everything that I met when I was in the seminary. And my last few days up there before I was sent to Rome, she came to me and we struck up a friendship over the course of a week or two there. And she said, well, when you go to Rome, if you ever get close to this particular area, you got to go visit St. Gianna there, my patron saint. She led me into the church, and just thank her for me, because she's done mighty things for me in my life. And so what happened, my first week of studies there, I actually happened to be not far from her and ventured out on my own and got to encounter her in a very powerful way. She called out to me in a way that I don't even know how to explain. But since then, we have a great friendship. This saint has something, and I'll give you a little bit about her life in just a minute, but in that gospel, what does it say there? It's Paul and Barnabas who are there in Antioch. If you remember what Deacon Marvin was talking about yesterday, remember he mentioned that this is the first place in Antioch where these people who are following Christ were first called Christians. Before that, they didn't have a name. They were known as the people of the way. Remember our blessed Lord Jesus, he said what in the gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So those who are following he who is Jesus is the way, that's what they were called, the way. But then what happened after that, they called him as a little derogatory term to attack him, to pick at him, say, we're just walking around like little Christs, little Christs. He said, it's exactly right. That's who we are. And so these little Christs, seeing that God was doing something great in them and that it needed to go out from their community here, what God was doing, they fasted and they prayed. And they said, well, Lord, who else is supposed to go out and do some great things? We've got a lot of people here. Who do you want to go out and do it? They prayed, they fasted, and it was manifested to them that Saul, who later would be Paul, and Barnabas and John Mark would go together, the three of them going out and venturing to be able to take this gospel even further, especially in their first missionary journey that was there. And so we in like manner need to pray that we know who are supposed to be sent out from us, particularly those in vocations, that they can answer generously to their call in life, not just Fabian here, but also others. Remember, there was that beautiful young woman who stood up in our congregation who is going to become a sister of life, God willing, in September. She's one of them. There are many other young men and young women who are inspired within our community to ask that question among our confirmation students and those who are younger, to answer just as generously as Sister Anne did so many years ago, and as Father not as many years ago, but it feels like a really long time ago when I answered that as well back in 2008. To have them move toward their vocations as well. St. Gianna knew what her vocation was too. If you read through her story, she ardently wanted from the youngest ages to be a religious sister, to give herself to that prayer. For her first communion, she prayed and went on retreat and said, God wants me and I want God. I want to be his bride in this way. And so later on, when she began to pursue her vocation, she went out and spent on various retreats with the sisters who were around her to do it. And they kept saying to her, Gianna, you love God deeply, but he's not calling you to be a sister. Your call is other. And she said, but I really want to be a sister. I really want to give myself to the Lord in this radical way. But they said, it doesn't seem like God's calling you in this way. You have an amazing love for God, a passion for Him, but it seems like God's calling you maybe the married life and to be that. And so she was discouraged. She thought it was so wrong. She thought it was so difficult. By the way, my own grandmother had that same experience with the sisters that she was with. And she was so sad that she was not able to answer to this vocation. But did she let that turn her back and to say that this wasn't for her? That somehow now she just can't be holy? No. Gianna said, fine, if I'm not called to be a religious sister, then I'm going to find a way to become a saint outside of the convent. And so she gave herself totally to her secular life there to bring God into the secular world. She said, I'm going to be a mother. So that means I'm going to be the best possible mother there is to bring holy children into the world and to make sure that they become saints. Make sure that they become saints. I'm going to find a husband, a man who loves God equal to my love for God, that he's focused on that thing and that thing alone. And so she found her husband, Pietro. Pietro, and they had a beautiful relationship together, both of them pursuing God in their work life. She moving to become a doctor, which at that time was very difficult. And she became the best doctor of her entire class, the number one student in an era when women weren't as well valued, particularly in that profession. But she was clearly head and shoulders above the rest, not in height, but in her ability to perform those medical procedures. And she didn't go on that way to become some great doctor that everybody would look at, but she said, I want to just go back to my community, be a physician in my little Misero, little Magento, where she grew up, a little tiny community about maybe 20 miles or 30 miles or so outside of Milan, a little tiny people. And they're working with those who are around her, particularly wanting to remind the young women who are around her of their dignity too, of their dignity too, that they can do great things to become saints as well, whether they're called in the convent like she wanted to be, or whether they're called to be mothers to pursue it in that very same way. She had three children, one who died very young, and then it was her fourth child that she very much struggled with. And they told her, look, it's the wrong kind of pregnancy. It's a difficulty that is going on with you, and we don't know if you're going to be able to make it through this. Her being a doctor, she knew exactly what was going on. First, they said, let's abort that child. Second, they said, if you won't let us abort it, well, then at least we'll do a hysterectomy on you, which will unintentionally take the life of the child, but it will preserve your life as well. Or we can deal with the fibroma in some sort of way and just kind of hope that you do well, but probably you're going to die and maybe the child within you as well. And she pled and she pled. She knew exactly what she was going to go through. She knew everything about the body in that way. And she said, I opt for the third option. Deal with the fibroma because we got to preserve the life of this child. My life doesn't matter that much, she said. I know that God is going to take care of my family no matter what. Even my young kids, I've married a good, holy husband who's going to do great things like this. I know that God is going to take care of my family, and I can't stomach the idea of aborting my child. I can't stomach the idea of taking any action that would end the life of my little child that's there. So preserve that child's life at every cost. She pled with her husband, Pietro, over and over again. They're going to want to convince you to save my life, but you can't. You can't. You're my husband. Save our child. That's our child that's there. I will be all right. I've already been baptized. I know where I'm going. Take care of this child. And so, pleading through it, what happened within it, we all know that she eventually was able to give birth to that child and went through her own passion and difficulty there and finally died there shortly after during the Easter season right there from the excessive bleeding that had from having that child. They thought that the child might not make it, but the child grew strong and was great and actually later on became a doctor in her own right. Became a doctor in her own right. This beautiful woman, and her father always reminded her that you are the gift of your mother's love, that she sacrificed herself that you might have a full life. And so you have to live your life knowing that a saint gave its life for you. He would often remind her that the way in which her life was purchased, she can know in a deep way that her mom loved her just like Christ loved her. And so in that way, one giving a life for another. Beautiful, beautiful life. You can actually know that two of her children, or three of her children, all three of those children, I think, are still alive today. Luigi is the firstborner. Gianluigi, I forget the second one and the third one. They've all been to the United States a number of times to be able to do so. Well, so what is the thing that gave her the strength to be able to do her life in this way? How could she be able to go through and to say that God's going to take care of me, God's going to take care of my family, even in the difficulty that's going on in her life? I want to share with you something that Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, one of the new young saints, who is a Carmelite saint, said about this very same thing in having a faith that God is going to take care of you in anything. How can we know that that's the case? Here's what Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity talks about, that same faith that Saint Gianna had. She says this. She says, "We have come to know and to believe in the love that God has for us. That is our great act of faith, the way in which we repay our God, love for love. It is a mystery of our God, a mystery hidden in the Father's heart, of which St. Paul speaks, which at last we penetrate, or we go into, and our whole soul begins to have a thrill when we enter into that life of faith that God loves us beyond all telling." The saint continues, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity says, when the soul can believe in this exceeding love which envelops it, which washes over it, we may say of it, as was said of holy Moses, he was unshakable in faith, as if he had seen the invisible, as it speaks about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, which is the faith chapter. She continues on, Saint Elizabeth, saying, Elizabeth of the Trinity, it no longer rests, our faith no longer rests in our inclinations or in our feelings, not merely in our emotional life, she says. It matters little to the soul whether it feels God or whether it doesn't feel God, whether he sends it joy or whether he sends the soul suffering. That kind of heart that knows that love for God believes in his love. It believes in his love. The more it is tried, the more its faith is increased, because it passes over all obstacles, as it were, to go to rest in the heart of infinite love. That's the Sacred Heart. To rest in that heart of infinite love, as she says, who can perform only works of love? That's our God. That's our God. Can God do evil? Can God bring harm into one's life? Can God bring destruction to the soul? No. God is love itself. He only knows how to bring about love. Everything that he does, everything that he visits on your soul or my soul, is visited in a way of his deep and profound love for you and me. That's the kind of confidence that gave St. Gianna Barettamola the ability to say, yes, even as this is given to me, God has given me this as a gift of his love within my life. And so that means he's going to take care of me, because he can only love. That means he's going to take care of my three other little children, because he can only love. That means he's going to take care of my husband, because he can only love. He's going to take care of this little child, because he can only love. And so it is in your life, and in mine, not merely in the lives of the saints, not merely in the lives of the great mystics like Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity or Saint Gianna Barettamola or these other ones that we look at, but your life and mine too. And if you and I don't have that same confidence in the difficulties that we're going through, hey, it's hard. It's difficult. It doesn't say anywhere that it's easy. But the more and more you and I come here and pray and spend time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, the more and more you and I make these worthy Holy Communions like we're going to strive to do today, there we can become more and more convinced of God's true being, his true essence, the fact that he can only act in love towards you and me. Ask him for a grace to know that just a little bit more through the inspiration of the saints, to have that kind of faith, that confidence that the saints had. And like we say often, if you don't have it in that way, ask the saints, like Saint Gianna, to impress that upon your own soul. They know what it's like. They want us to achieve that same degree of love and enveloping presence of God, just as they had. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.